This is Thurman Hayes, pastor of First Baptist Church of Suffolk, Virginia. We want to welcome you to this message from our services at First Baptist. We're a congregation that is seeking to touch lives through the life-changing power of the gospel. I pray that you'll encounter Christ in his power and love.
Okay, so we are so thankful for our IMV missionaries, 3,600 people scattered around the world, reaching people for the gospel. You see all the diversity of just ways that they do ministry, from medical missions and teaching, and just all applying their skills in all kinds of ways for one purpose, that Christ would be exalted, that every tribe and tongue throughout the world would know Christ. So we're entering into the season of our Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. And so our church's goal this year is $60,000 to reach the last, the least, and the lost throughout the world with the gospel. So our special, and you can give anytime, of course, and many of you already have, but we have a special in-gathering service that comes up in actually 2 weeks. Everything is moved forward this year. So we have Thanksgiving on Thursday, and then the first Sunday of Advent is next Sunday. So everything's coming on fast. We'll have our in-gathering 2 weeks from today. We'll ask you to come forward at the end with your gift for Lottie Moon. We'll have a wonderful time of prayer together as we just commit that to the Lord. And we've had our team in Thailand that is working with some of our folks that we support, and actually working with Martin and Carrie Chapel, who have spent 3 decades in Bangkok. They grew up in this church. This church sent them out, and they have been ministering right in the heart of Bangkok for decades. Today was actually their last Sunday at their church. They're getting ready to come home, and so our team there from our church was able to be a part of that special service and honoring Martin and Carrie today. They're actually in the air right now, coming home. So I was talking to Pastor David earlier, and they were boarding the plane. But they had a wonderful time of worship this morning, and he was talking about they've been in Bangkok all week, doing different kinds of ministry. And so David said the team has experienced a great week in Bangkok and in the surrounding area, ministering to the needs of people and children who are in crisis. What a great opportunity to show the love of Christ and share the words of hope and the gospel. We have done a variety of things this week. We've taught at the refugee school at Calvary, building relationships and helping kids see how to finish their GED. We've been in the homes of refugees, ministering to them. So many ways to make a difference here in South Asia. And you are making a difference as you pray and as you give so that others can go. And so we want to pray together right now as we just lift up our mission effort to the Lord, lift up our lives to the Lord as we get ready to open the Word today. So Father, we thank you for the ways that you've been with our team over the past couple of weeks in Thailand. It is a joy to pray for them, to know that we can be a part of that team directly as we lift up our prayers, our intercessions to you for them. We thank you for the work that they've been able to do, and we thank you for the fruit that's going to come forth from that. We thank you for Martin and Carrie, the way that they were nurtured by this church in children's ministry and student ministry, and then sent out, and the way that they have served you faithfully for 3 decades or more than that on the field, and the way that you've used them incredibly in Thailand and in the mega city of Bangkok, where so many people are in spiritual darkness and need to know you. We just thank you that we've been able to send them out, be a part of their ministry as a church, and that's really a microcosm of what our church gets to be involved in through the IMB and through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And so as we are entering into the season of giving towards that, Lord, help us to pray and give us a greater vision than ever before of the impact and the calling that you have on each one of our lives, as we saw on the video. This is each one of us is called to be on mission for you. As we say at the end of every service here, you were sent. We're sent by you. We get to be a part of sending others, and we ourselves are sent. And so we thank you for the grand purpose that you have given to our lives and to our church. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness toward us that we've just sung about, and how we give thanks to you as we look forward to this week of Thanksgiving. Lord, you have been so, so good to each one of us, and we pray that you would open our eyes to just see that in Daniel 12 this morning. And so we give you this time now as we open up your word, as we dig into it. Lord, make us see beautiful things in your word and prepare our hearts to come to the table later on in the service. And we ask it in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Okay, so we have been in Daniel really since May, just kind of walking through verse by verse, chapter by chapter in the amazing book of Daniel. Our series has been Kings and Kingdoms, and today that journey comes to an end. I want to ask you to open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 12, Daniel 12 this morning. And the sermon title is taken by a quote from Corrie Ten Boom: God has no problems, only plans. And we have seen through all of the adversity that Daniel has gone through in this book where the plan of God was so certain, and it's revealed for Daniel and for the world and for us. And so let's take a look this morning at the 12th chapter of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, and we're going to cover the whole chapter this morning as we finish our study of Daniel today. Daniel chapter 12. Let me ask you to stand in honor of God's word as we look at it together. Daniel chapter 12. The Bible says, at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands watch over your people, will rise up. There will be a time of distress such as never has occurred since nations came into being until that time. But at that time, all your people who are found written in the book will escape. Many who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to eternal life and some to disgrace and eternal contempt. Those who have insight will shine like the bright expanse of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, keep these words secret and seal the book until the time of the end. Many will roam about and knowledge will increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and two others were standing there, one on this bank of the river and one on the other. One of them said to the man dressed in linen who was above the water of the river, "How long until the end of these wondrous things?" Then I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the water of the river. He raised both his hands toward heaven and swore by him who lives eternally that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. When the power of the holy people is shattered, all these things will be completed. I heard but did not understand. So I asked, "My Lord, what will be the outcome of these things?" He said, "Go on your way, Daniel, for the words are secret and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly. None of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. From the time the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Happy is the one who waits for and reaches 1,335 days. But as for you, go on your way to the end. You will rest, and then you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance at the end of the days." You can be seated. Corrie Ten Boom was a remarkable woman of God. She was a Dutch watchmaker, came from a Christian family, her family just strong followers of Christ. And as the persecution ramped up in the Netherlands against Jewish people in the 1930s and into the days of World War II, her family felt a calling to hide Jewish people in their homes from the Nazis. And they did that until the day that they were reported and betrayed. And Corrie and her family were sent to a concentration camp themselves. And God used Corrie in an incredible way to encourage and minister to her fellow inmates in the concentration camp. She survived the war, later wrote a book about her experiences called The Hiding Place. And in that, Corrie Ten Boom wrote, "There is no panic in heaven. God has no problems, only plans." You know, Daniel would say the same through it all, through this amazing journey that we have seen Daniel walking through and all of the trials that he has gone through that we have seen in this book. Daniel would testify to, as we sung about earlier, to the goodness of God. God's sovereignty and love was with him through all of that. And so this morning in chapter 12, as we close things out in Daniel, and as we look toward Thanksgiving on Thursday, I want us to look at four things to be thankful for. Four things to be thankful for. So we can have, first of all, security in the greatest trouble. Let's go back and look at verses 1 and 2. "At that time, Michael, the great prince who stands watch over your people, will rise up. There will be a time of distress such as never has occurred since nations came into being until that time. But at that time, all your people who are found written in the book will escape. Many who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to eternal life and some to disgrace and eternal contempt." So lots going on here in verses 1 and 2. Now, we see this figure, Michael. At that time, Michael. So we've talked about before in Daniel, Michael is an angel. The angel Michael is the angel that God has given to be a special protector and provider for Israel, for the Jewish people. And Michael is going to be needed by the Jewish people more than ever at the time that is being talked about. Look at verse 1 again. "At that time." So what time is it? Really important to understand that the beginning of chapter 12 is linked to the end of chapter 11. Always remember when you're reading your Bibles that in the original there were no chapter divisions, and so it was all kind of one flowing document. So when you're at the beginning of a new chapter, if you want to get the context of where you're at, always pay attention to what's at the end of the previous chapter. So last week, at the end of chapter 11, we saw that this is the time of the Great Tribulation. This period of intense suffering at the end of days, a 7-year period. So this is the time that is being talked about at the beginning of chapter 12, and it's going to be a time that's going to impact the whole world, but Israel is going to especially be in the eye of the storm at that time. In Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7, the Bible says, "How awful that day will be. There will be no other like it. It will be a time of trouble for Jacob." Jacob is another word for Israel, okay? So this is a time of Jacob's trouble. "It will be a time of trouble for Jacob, but he will be saved out of it." And so both in Daniel and in Jeremiah and other places, we see that this is going to be an intense time of suffering for the Jewish people, but God is going to be doing something wonderful in the midst of it, because there's going to be a great turning of the Jewish people to Christ as their Messiah during these days. Romans chapter 11 and verse 26, Zechariah 12 and verse 10. Many other passages talk about this great turning of Jewish people to Jesus as their Messiah during this time. And for those who know the Lord, whether Jew or Gentile, our names are written in the book. You see that in verse 1? Names that are found written in the book. Well, what book is that? It's what the Apostle Paul calls the book of life. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul says there, he refers to my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. We see that again in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Jesus says there, I will never erase his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and before his angels. Now listen, if you know Christ as your Savior and Lord, this verse is about you. I love that. Never erase his name. You know, when back in the day in school, sometimes our teacher would say for certain things, you use pen, and for other things, you use pencil, because you might have to go back and erase. But listen, if you know Christ, your name is written in the book of life, not in pencil. There's never going to be any, it's not going to be erased from there. No, it's written in a special ink, and that ink is in scarlet. Right? It's the scarlet blood of Jesus, right? Because this book is the Lamb's book. Revelation 21 and verse 27 refers to it as the Lamb's book of life. Our names are there because we have a Savior, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who was slain, Jesus, who was slaughtered, whose blood was spilled, whose body was broken, so that our names could be in that book. And he has purchased a people from every tribe and tongue. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9 says, and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slaughtered. They sing to Jesus. Because you were slaughtered and you purchased people for God by your blood. From where? From every tribe and language and people and nation. Now this is what the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is all about. This is why our church sends missionaries and sustains missionaries on the field. Because Jesus has commanded us to reach every tribe and tongue. The gospel is for every people group throughout the earth. And one day we're going to join with people from every tribe and tongue in praising our Savior whose body was broken, whose blood was spilt for us. And so, what are the ways that we do this? You know, as we pray for missions, next week you're going to get a prayer guide for the Lottie Moon offering as we look forward to our ingathering on the 8th. Revelation tells us that the prayers of the saints are like incense rising to God. It's a pleasing aroma to him. He delights in the prayers of his children. And he answers our prayers. You get to be a direct part in changing the world as you pray for our missionaries, and as God is answering your prayers. Right? As some of us have the opportunity to go, we've had a team from our church that's been on a short-term trip. They've been visiting with a couple that were sent out from our church long-term career but they could only go, Martin and Carrie, because they were sent. And they were sent because people give. You know, Romans chapter 10 tells us this. How then, speaking of missionaries, how then can they, speaking of people who need the Lord, first of all, how then can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Our workers around the world have to be sent. They are sent by churches like this one, by Christians like you, who care, who have responded to the calling, the commission that Jesus gives us, the marching orders that he has given to the church to go and make disciples of all nations. Well, how are we going to do that? How is an individual Christian going to do it? How is your family going to do it? Well, you can do it if your family is united to a church family like this one that is carrying that out and sending out workers to the nations. And I just want to challenge you this year to give more sacrificially than ever, that more and more people around the world can experience the security that we have come to know in Christ. And so we can be thankful for the security that we have in the greatest trouble. Second, we can be thankful for the certainty that we can have in the hardest times. Certainty in the hardest times. Let's check out verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and two others were standing there, one on this bank of the river and one on the other. Now, this links up with the beginning of this vision in chapter 10. So turn to chapter 10, and let's look there at verses 4 and following. This vision that we're now on has been going on for three chapters, right? This final vision actually begins at the beginning of chapter 10. So let's review what we saw there at the beginning of the vision. Chapter 10, and beginning with verse 4, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there was a man dressed in linen with a belt of gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the brilliance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And so we talked about the fact that this is in all likelihood a pre-incarnate vision of Christ. Okay, this is the pre-incarnate Christ in his glory here that we see. And now, in chapter 12, he is joined by two angels. So look at verses 6 and 7. One of them said to the man who was dressed in linen, who was above the water of the river, "How long until the end of these wondrous things?" Then I heard the man dressed in linen, who was above the water of the river. He raised both his hands toward heaven and swore by him who lives eternally that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. When the power of the holy people is shattered, all these things will be completed. So when we were going through chapter 7, we saw this phrase, okay, time, times, and half a time. And we saw then in chapter 7 that the meaning of that is 3.5 years. And so he's talking here about the second half of the 7-year great tribulation and the most intense time of suffering, the latter 3.5 years of that. And for especially the Jewish people, it's going to be a shattering time. He talks about the holy people being shattered here, but yet, as we've already seen, it's not only a shattering time, but it is going to be at the same time a saving time for them. Shattering and yet saving. Adrian Rogers was one of the greatest preachers of the 20th century, probably the greatest leader in our family of churches and our denomination in the late 20th century. But when Adrian Rogers, he and his wife, they were in one of their first churches, and they had a baby boy, Philip, infant son, and it was Mother's Day. And Adrian had preached that morning in church on the glories of a Christian home, a Christian family. And that afternoon, they went home from church, put the baby to bed. And when Joyce walked in later that day, their baby had died in the crib. They were absolutely shattered in grief. But it was during this period of their lives that God took them deeper into Him than they had ever been. God brought a special friend into Adrian's life, a man named Mike Gilchrist, who preached here when I was in junior high. Mike Gilchrist preached at this church, and I can remember as a junior high student, it's one of my early memories as a child of just experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit and just being absolutely touched by the Spirit during those days. But Mike became a special friend to Adrian, and through his friendship and his counsel, more about the nature of the Holy Spirit as his helper, his comforter, and more to walk in the Spirit of God. And Adrian and Joyce just they went deeper into the Lord than ever before, like through this shattering experience. And later Joyce would write, you know, the world throws broken things away, but God never uses anyone until He breaks them. And this time of tribulation is going to be a breaking time for the Jewish people, but it's also going to be a time of breakthrough for them. And often the hardest times in our lives when we're broken can be a time of breakthrough as God takes us to a new place in our walk with Him. Certainty in the hardest times. Third, endurance in the darkest days. We can have endurance in the darkest days. Let's look at verses 8 through 10. I heard but did not understand. So I asked, "My Lord, what will be the outcome of these things?" He said, "Go on your way, Daniel, for the words are secret and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly. None of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand." Listen, the darkest days are revealing days. In your darkest days, you learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about who your true friends are. And these days of tribulation are going to be a time, the Lord is saying here, when the pretenders are going to be smoked out and the believers are going to be refined, purified, cleansed, and God is going to enable them to endure. Listen, this is the principle of the Christian life. James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4 says this. We have James chapter 1. Can we pop that up? There we go. "Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." There's an old-fashioned silversmith who was doing his job of refining silver in a furnace, in a fire. And he had a group of people that were looking at him and do his work. And somebody asked the question, well, how do you know when to take it out of the fire? And he said, well, I have to be very careful. Because if I take it out too soon, it's not going to be purified. But if I leave it in too long, it's going to be burned. Somebody said, well, how do you know the right moment to take it out? And he says, I know that the silver is pure when I can see my face reflected there. And see, Romans 8 says that God's ultimate end in our lives is to do what? To conform us to the image of Christ, right? Through it all, he's making us more and more like Jesus. And he enables us to endure. Endurance in the darkest days. Fourth, direction for the present moment. Direction for the present moment. Let's look at verse 13. What a beautiful way for this book to end. But as for you, go on your way to the end. You will rest, and then you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance at the end of the days. Oh, what a beautiful ending to this book. Look at how personal it is. The Lord says to Daniel, but as for you, I mean, it's like God is just saying, I've had my eye on you the whole time, from the time that you were taken from your home in Jerusalem as a teenager, taken captive to Babylon, the whole time, my eye has been on you. It's like that great song, His Eye is on the Sparrow. I know he's watching me. Yes, he is. And it's like the Lord is just saying to him, my eye has been on you the whole time, but been every step of the way. Gardner Taylor, great pastor, began his early preaching. One night he was preaching in a little black church in rural Louisiana. And a little congregation and way out in the country. And they had in this sanctuary one little naked light bulb that was hanging down from the ceiling. And in the middle of his sermon, this one little light bulb just flickers and goes out, leaving preacher, the little congregation, everybody was in the pitch dark. And you know, he was relatively new preacher. He was just kind of fumbling. didn't know what to do. And one of the old guys in the church just called out to him, preach on, preacher. We can still see Jesus in the dark. And it's so true. Praise God, we can. Right? But here's even better news. The better news is that he sees you in the dark. In the dark night of the soul, in the hardest times, the darkest days. He sees you in the dark. And that's what the Lord is saying here to Daniel. You know, when you were ripped away from your parents and taken captive to Babylon, I was with you then. When they tried to conform you and mold you and strip you of your faith and everything that you had known, I was with you and enabled you to stand firm. I was with you when they threw you into that lion's den. I've been with you every step of the way, right? We sung it earlier. He's with us in the fire. And Daniel, I'm going to be with you to the end. You see that phrase here in verse 13, right? As for you, go on your way to the end. Now that has kind of a double meaning. In one respect, it's talking about to the end of Daniel's life. Now remember, he's about 85 years old at this point. And some of his most fruitful days of ministry have been in his 80s. What an encouragement that, you know, we may retire from a vocation, but we never retire from the Lord's service. Some of Daniel's most fruitful days have been during these last few years of his life, right? So part of what to the end means is to the end of your present life until you pass away, and then you will rest in peace. Okay, but the other part of to the end means to the end of earthly kings and kingdoms. What have we been talking about throughout this series? There's coming a day when earthly kings and kingdoms will all pass away and be replaced by the kingdom of God. And that's because the king is coming. The king is coming. King Jesus is coming. And at that time, you will rise in glory, right? You will rest, and then you will rise. Rest in peace. Rise in glory. He could rest in peace because there was going to come a Savior, and Daniel's sins would rest upon him as he died on the cross. He would rise in glory because Jesus rose on the third day. And don't miss this last part. You will rest and then you will rise to do what? To receive your allotted inheritance. There's an inheritance waiting for those who know Christ. Romans 8:18 says that the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. Now, part of that glory that we're going to experience is going to be a feast that the Lord Jesus is going to lead us in. It's interesting. The night that Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, what we call the Last Supper, the night before he goes to the cross, he gathers his disciples in the upper room. What does he say there as they eat the bread? Luke 22 and verse 16. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. They take the cup. And what does Jesus say? Matthew 26, verses 28 and 29. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. You see, Jesus, as he leads them in this feast, is looking forward to a greater feast. He's anticipating that feast in glory with his people. And see, this is why when the Apostle Paul talks about the Lord's Supper, what does he say in 1 Corinthians 11:26? For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So the Lord's Supper is a look back to the cross, and it is a look forward to the glory and the hope that is ours as believers. Let's pray together as we prepare to come to the table. So, Father, we thank you so much for the book of Daniel. We thank you for the way that you have been with us as we've walked through this incredible book full of so much inspiration and help for the living of these days. How timely this book has been for us over these months as we have walked through it. And Lord, today as we complete that journey, we are thankful for who you are, thankful most of all for the gospel. Thank you that sinners like us can have a Savior. Thankful that on the cross that he took our many sins upon himself, that our sins rested upon Christ so that we can one day rest in peace. We thank you that he rose from the dead on the third day so that one day we can rise in glory. And so, Lord, thank you for the good news of the gospel. Thank you for the finished work of Christ. And we thank you for a time that set aside, that our Lord ordained for us when the centrality of his sacrifice is just kind of put right before us and even put right into our hands and into our bodies to just experience in a multi-sensory kind of way what Jesus has done for us. And so let's just spend a few moments now just in reflection before the Lord. You know, 1 Corinthians 11 says that this is a time for us to examine ourselves, you know, before we eat the bread and drink the cup. You know, the first question to ask is, you know, do you know Christ? Do you know him as Savior and Lord? Because listen, apart from that, the Lord's Supper has no meaning. Do you know Christ? You can know him today. Turn to Jesus. Trust him. Listen, the work has been done. He died for sinners like you and me. He rose from the dead. Salvation in Christ is offered as a free gift. But just as we're going to reach out and take the elements today, you have to take Christ. Take Christ today as your Savior and Lord and King. Christians, we call this communion because this is a time of intimate fellowship with the Lord. That word communion is koinonia. It's talking about the intimate relationship, fellowship with Christ. Is there anything in your life today that's hindering that fellowship? Is there anything today that's like hindering that walk with the Lord? Hey, now's the time to deal with that. Go before him. Go before him. Confess that to the Lord. Turn from that. Thank him for his finished work. Thank him for the forgiveness that is yours in Christ, for the new beginning, the new life that we have in him. So, Father, we thank you so much for a Savior. Of all the things that we can be thankful for this week, and there are so many, the blessings of family and friends, the blessing of our church family, brothers and sisters in Christ, so many of the provision that you have given to us, but the greatest provision of all is Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us.
I hope you've been blessed by this message.
So
Christ is the
time,
answer for every need,
right now
and for all eternity.
This is
as someone once said, Jesus plus nothing equals everything, and everything minus Jesus equals nothing. Have you trusted in Jesus as your Savior? If not, why not now? His arms are open wide to receive you. It may help to pray a prayer like this. Father, I know that you are holy and that I have sinned and fallen short of your glory. I know that you are a righteous God who must punish sin, but I believe that your Son Jesus took my punishment for me, died in my place, and rose from the dead so that I could have eternal life. Right now, I turn to Jesus and trust in his finished work for me. In his name I pray, amen. You know, the Bible says this in John 1:12, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And that means that if you've received Christ, God has adopted you as his beloved child, his very own son or daughter. Just imagine it. Almighty God, the Lord of this universe, the one who possesses all authority in heaven and earth, is now your loving father, and you are his child. You say, I love him. How can I honor God with the rest of my life? Well, when you love someone, you want to spend time with them. We get to know God through his word, through prayer, and through his people. I would encourage you to pick up a copy of the Bible and begin to read it. Begin to pour out your heart to him in prayer. And find a church family where the Bible is preached, where Christ is exalted, and where his love is flowing. If you're local, I want to invite you to the church I pastor, First Baptist Church of Suffolk, Virginia.